Welcome to the Heartland Worship Center podcast, an audio experience to help you grow in your relationship with God. Visit us at hwcagra.com for more great content.
We're going to continue again the series talking about alignment with God, and so thankful for what the Lord is doing. But tonight we're going to be talking about some of the, if you will, the fundamentals, the essential practices, if you will, that need to be in place if we want to see God's vision for this church carried out. And this is what we have talked about the last couple of nights at Sunday night church. Did this just cut out? Did I just lose my mic? Is it back? Is it? Oh, Gary? See, I've been messing with him, and now he's messing with, I don't know what just happened. So anyway, I can't tell on myself this morning. The attic door was open and the light was on, and I watched Gary walk over to the door, and he yelled up the stairs, "Hey, is anybody up here?" And he shut the light off and closed the door. And so I'm standing right there, and I just opened the door and turned the light back on and walked on and kind of see him looking back. Did I just close that thing? And he'd do it again. And so I was like, "Hey, walk by the attic door, open it, and turn the light on, would you, for me?" So just anyway, sorry, it's pick on Gary day, I guess, too. So anyway, it's this fun relationship we have. So just as long as we have ice cream at the end of the day, we're good, right? So he's nodding his head, right? So anyway, what we're talking about, alignment with God. And the first and most essential part of this alignment, if you will, is making sure that God is at the center of everything. And that is in what we do, in what we say, how we behave, our attitudes, that God is at the center. And as a church, and again, as we talked about this, I want to make sure too to make clear, this is not a message or a series in any way, shape, or form that is a response or reaction to something that I see out of place in our church. One thing I can say about Heartland Worship Center is this church puts God at the center of everything. And I am so thankful for that. I am so thankful for that. How can I say that again confidently today? Because I see it in the hearts of the people. I see it taking place in our ministries. I see growth. I see discipleship. I see new life. And I praise God for that daily. Do you realize that on Sunday mornings, just about every Sunday morning, we have new salvations or rededications almost every single week? And I praise God for that. And so again, please hear me. As we talk about this, this is more of, in a sense, preaching to the choir, but this is taking care and making sure that we have some essentials in place as we take that step into the vision that God has for us. And as again, His vision requires that we place His presence and His plan at the core of everything that we are and everything that we do. And remember the map that I had a couple of weeks back that had the yellow dots of the 18 communities from which we have congregants coming, and that Heartland Center, or Heartland Worship Center, was right at the middle of that map. And if we desire to see the influence of the church continue to spread throughout the Heartland, then we must make sure that God remains central in everything. And what you see, or what we saw on that map, is all of because of God's love, His mercy, and His power working through a local church that said, "Yes, we will answer the call." And again, I want to continue to reiterate the fact that everything that you see and participate in today is a result of a lot of hard work yesterday. Are you following? This didn't happen overnight. Amen. And I am thankful for the men and women. And I know I keep saying this, but I want us to understand our heritage as a church is important, because it tells us where we've been, and it helps point us in the direction of where we're going. Amen? And so as we continue, I want to make sure that we are understanding how cool it is what God is doing in this moment. We will answer the call, God. And as we continue to answer that call, we will work to make sure that key fundamentals are in place, to make sure that our ministries remain healthy and strong as we work to make disciples. And so again, I use this tool called Adam, and we'll have to put on our imagination caps. I apologize tonight. And it is simply, if you will, a church alignment tool. So put in your minds an illustration of an atom, an actual scientific atom, okay? You've got the nucleus, and you've got the the orbiting. I believe those are the electrons. I can't remember if the electrons are in the nucleus or it's the protons. I didn't major in science. I majored in pastoral ministry, so forgive me on that. But you've got the atom and you've got the orbiting elements. Are you following me? And that's what makes up the atom. And so in this illustration, the nucleus is God. He is central to everything that we do. And again, I know this is review, but I just want to make sure this is in our minds and in our hearts, that if the church revolves around anything else but God, it cannot really be called the church. Amen? This is all about God tonight. We are not, and the other side of this thing that I want to make sure that we understand is in alignment, making sure that we have the proper things centralized. Because listen, we're not simply just a missional church that has a powerful God at our disposal. No, that's wrong and backwards thinking. We are instead serving a God that is a missional God that has a church to carry out His mission. Amen? The church is a result of His mission, a result of His desire to see every single person come to know Him. We know His heart. Scripture reveals His heart tonight, saying that His desire is that none should perish. None. No one should perish. And He has a church planted here and around the world to do our very best under His power to make sure that everybody has the chance to hear the gospel. That's the heart of our God tonight. And notice, again, with the atom model, those orbiting points that are around the nucleus, in the illustration that I would have, are three different levels, one closest to the center, one kind of in a different ring, and then one in the furthest ring. And I'm going to talk about the one that's closest to that nucleus tonight. And I want to talk about what that one is that point closest is to the nucleus tonight. And I want to answer that question by asking another question. What are the two essential elements that make a church the church? What are the two essential elements that make the church tonight? Well, one is obviously God, right? The center of our worship, the center of our affection, our service, the center of everything. But secondly, the people. Those who believe in and worship God. As I mentioned this morning, the church is not a place. It's not an ideology. It's not something that we do or something that we plant. It is a people who believe in Jesus. And I want us to rewind a bit and go back to Acts chapter 2 to get a snapshot of what I'm talking about here. We've covered this text before, but I want to look at this here very briefly tonight. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, to be exact, is where we're going to be picking this up. And we know in context that this portion that I'm about to read to us tonight comes after the first baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is essential. This was the gift that the Father had promised. And here we read about in Acts chapter 2 an outpouring of the Spirit. Peter then addresses a skeptical crowd, and over 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus following these events in the book of Acts. But then verse 42 goes on to talk about what the picture of the church looked like. And we read this tonight. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now watch this, and we know this, but this is significant. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. People centered around God equals the church. And this is essential to our being a Christian and to our being the church. And the result is truly amazing. The Lord added to their number daily. Now, I want us to take note of something important here. Scripture makes clear that the people were devoted to something very important, and it's mentioned right at the beginning of the passage and cannot be ignored. Verse 42 tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The people were growing in the Lord, and that is what that first orbit, as I would have had illustrated in my image tonight, is all about. And we're going to look at what this means. Why is it important to the church as a whole, and how it plays out regarding the vision and direction of the church? As a church tonight, it is important that we are devoted to the message of Jesus. The people, the world, had never heard a message like Jesus had brought. It was something totally different. It was something that was changing the world. It was a message of hope. It was a message of forgiveness. It was a message of wholeness, a message of redemption. And Jesus had made a big impact on many people within the region. And because of this impact tonight, the people devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And then the question I want to present to us is why? Because the apostles had direct contact with the one who had come to change the world. The apostles had walked with him. They had talked with him. They had been there and witnessed the miracles that were performed by him and were directly commissioned by him. Can you imagine being present when Jesus took basically what was equivalent to two Happy Meals and fed over 5,000 people? How many have ever helped prepare for a fellowship dinner or a funeral dinner or a gathering or a reception of something like that? Raise your hand. How many have been in one of those situations where you look at the crowd and you look at the resource and you're thinking, we don't have enough food? Ever been there? It's not a fun feeling, right? And in this miracle that I'm talking about, the feeding of the 5,000, you know, the disciples wanted to send the people away so that they could go get something to eat. And Jesus says, well, no, you guys take care of them. You take care of this need. And they have what? 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 5,000 hungry mouths to feed. I wouldn't want to be managing that food service line. Hello? I mean, I've been there. I've seen the crowds where we have 80 pieces of chicken and 100 people in the crowd. You know, it's just like, call up Pizza Hut, get something coming. You know what I mean? There was no delivery service. There was no emergency kitchen. It was 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000 mouths. And the cool thing about this particular miracle is not only did God provide, or Jesus provide, for that immediate need, but what they had left over was greater than what they started with in the first place. As if Jesus were saying, I had this covered the whole time. Why worry? It says that they collected over 12 basketfuls of leftovers, significantly more than what they started with to begin with. So we're devoted to the teaching of the apostles. These guys had been there. They had seen these things. And some of their teachings would later even become a part of the New Testament scriptures. And as a result of the hunger of the people for God's word, the early Christians were spiritually nourished and grew strong in their faith. You see, tonight they were a word-centered church. Whose word? God's word. And the word changed their perspective. As I pray tonight and every single day of your life, that His Word changes your perspective of this world. There's nothing like His Word tonight. The Word changed who they were and what they did. The Word transformed them, and rightly so. And just like us today, the people were emerged in a secular society, a world that was driven and shrouded in darkness. The worldview did not line up with God's word or God's view of the world. And before they could make a difference in the world, the Word had made a difference in them. And Paul spoke of the importance of this transformational choice. I like this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, saying, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Contextually, this verse comes within a passage of which they talk about becoming a living sacrifice for Christ. But such cannot become a reality if conformation with the world continues. We are to separate ourselves, as Scripture tells us, from the world's ideas. Because I can tell you something right now. The world's ideas, in a lot of ways, are not good ideas. As they are self-centered in many ways and anti-God in our culture today, can I tell you something? Never in my lifetime would I have ever dreamed that I would live in a culture here in America that was so hostile towards the things of God. But it's happening. And it's happening on our watch. There are twisted ideas and basically improper teachings going out that is distorting the world's view toward our God. And it's high time we as the church rise up and say, no. Let me tell you about who God is. Let me tell you about what God has done for me. Let me share my experience with you. I found this to be fascinating in one of my classes this last semester as we were talking about our pluralistic society and the next generations coming up. And how a lot of generations are becoming more and more skeptical to the things of God. And an author that we were reading who was not Pentecostal, I won't mention what denomination he was, but not Pentecostal, not Spirit-filled. And he's writing this book on basically being effective to a pluralistic society. And specifically, he was writing about the millennial generation of how churches are going to be effective in reaching this generation. And it shocked me as I'm reading through this chapter, as he says, the church that has the strongest chance of reaching this generation is the Pentecostal church. And he began to talk about, because it is experience. You experience. They talk about experience the Spirit for yourself. It's not something they just talk about. We want you to experience God in your life. And he said that is what this generation is looking for, is a personal experience. They don't want to be told about it. They want to experience it for themselves. And that is why they are looking at all sorts of kinds of supernatural things throughout this world to try to satisfy that need. Listen, we know who it is that can fully satisfy that need, and His name is Jesus. And so as a church, we desire to be a Word-centered church. And we desire to not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Can I tell you something? Our world is not looking for more of the same old thing. That's why in some cases, and I want to be careful with this because I believe in being relevant in some regard. But listen, if we look and we sound and we look and sound like and taste like the world, then what's the difference? What's the difference? Now I want to be careful in that because we can have fun and we can do some different things, but ultimately when people look at us, let me take this to a personal. I'll personalize this for me. When somebody looks at my life, I don't want them to see the world all over me. I want them to see Jesus in me. Hello? That means I ought to talk different than the world. I ought to present myself different from the world. Not just because I want to do these things. It's because it's who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. Am I making sense tonight? I don't want to conform to the pattern of the world. No, I've tried that, been there, and it was leading me down a path of destruction. Hello? I want to break away from that. And I want to help people break away from that. Why? Because there's life in this. There's freedom in this. And it is so important that we as believers allow this to come into our lives and transform us. So I charge us tonight, be transformed. The world has no answers for us, for anybody. If the world had the answers, then listen, what I know I say this often, but I want us to understand, if the world had the answer, then Jesus did not need to do what he did on the cross. Christ is the answer, and his word lays out the details for us, explaining that very truth. So we choose to be transformed. And this transformation occurs as we draw closer to God, making him the center of all we do and of all who we are. So people are the first level of alignment, if you will, in the Adam model, because the church is a people. Ministry, discipleship, outreach, programs, etc. These things do not happen without people who are centered on God. Am I making sense? On the illustration, you would see a ring of which the people basically are in orbit around God, and I label that ring as leadership development. And this is a process in which, as we go through discipleship, leaders are developed. And why would I label it as such? Because I don't want us to, as a church, to just simply stop at this step alone. There is more to come, again, on this model that we're going to be talking about. And this is a step-by-step alignment tool. And if one area gets out of alignment, then the rest begins to fall apart. But as people become devoted to the Word, hear me tonight, they also begin to prepare for his works. Now, granted, we are not saved by works. Amen? Just want to make sure we understand this. But I want to be clear in something. I would not be here today. I would not be here tonight if not for the works of others. Ultimately, because of what Christ has done for me on the cross. But I wouldn't be here tonight if not for the people in my life that decided to reach into my life and say, I want you to know Jesus. Are you following me? How many in the room can make that same kind of testimony tonight? I would not be here tonight if not for the works of others. And so as we are transformed by his word, as we are devoted to his word, we also begin to prepare for his works. As believers, we are devoted to the teaching of Jesus. Not only are we devoted to being a disciple, but we begin to see the importance of being a disciple maker. Therefore, the servant leader begins to grow. And what we are talking about is the building up of the body. And as we work to build a network of care and discipleship throughout the heartland, proper attention should be given to the equipping of those who will be on the front line of ministry. As pastor, my biblical calling, if you will, is to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And I touched on this concept a week ago, and I want to hit on it again tonight. Listen to me. We cannot pour into others what we ourselves do not have. If we desire to live or to lead people to the Lord, church, we cannot lead on empty. As we sang about just a moment ago in that last worship song, just a moment ago, I need you more. I need you more. God, I need you more. And God desires to pour into our lives on a daily basis. And he does this through his word. He does this through his spirit. He does this through discipleship. And Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of offices that Jesus has given for the sake of equipping his people for the works of services so that one, the body of Christ may be built up. Two, that the body of Christ will reach unity in the faith. And three, the body of Christ becomes mature through knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, he wants to build us up. And he wants to pour into each and every one of us, not just to fill us to the brim, hello, but to overflowing, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And it is out of this fullness, out of the overflow, listen to me, that we minister to others. It is therefore necessary for us to make time for the Lord to pour into our lives. If we try to lead on empty, We know the right answers. We know the right words to say. We know the right motions to go through. Can I tell you something? If you lead on empty, you can expect empty results. If you live on empty, you can expect eventually to run out of gas and to find yourself in a position where you've got nothing left. And it's not a good place to be. I know for my sake, and I'll tell on myself again here in just a moment, I would say I'm most vulnerable, most susceptible to bad attitudes, rotten emotions, just being nasty when I'm tired. And I'm not just talking physically tired tonight. Hello? Ever been spiritually just wiped out? Come on. I see a few heads nodding. Please tell me I'm not the only one. You know, we went through a season, and without giving details, we went through a very, very difficult season. Some things going on. Received some bad news, and I was tired. And this was a Tuesday morning in the office. And Christy will probably remember this effectively because she came in right after I had received some just troubling news and some things. But basically, it was just that last little push I needed. And I was in the process of rearranging the furniture. I was mad, and it was not pretty, and it was not of God. And I texted the board, and I said it wasn't here. It was in another context, and I texted the board. I said, I need to get out of here for a few days and refuel, because I realized in that moment, I'll tell on myself, this was a Tuesday, and Wednesday night was coming. I realized I was not fit for pulpit duty that week. And I asked the board to excuse me on that Wednesday night and got a sub in there, and we went and we recharged for a little bit. Now, it was my fault that I allowed myself to get to that point. Hello? And this is another thing that I'm trying to teach my kids right now. You know, I love Mason and Sam to death, but man, they are two polar different opposite personalities, right? And Sam, man, that kid knows how to push the buttons of his big brother like you wouldn't believe. And you would think he'd learn he's twice the size. Sam might have the brain power, but Mason's got the brawn. Oh, he's in here, Sammy. I'm telling on you. Man, he knows how to push those buttons. And something will happen, and the one excuse I get from Mason just about every time, well, Sammy made me do this and this. I said, stop. Time out. Sammy didn't make you do anything. This was your personal choice. It was my personal choice to let myself get low. Hello? Ever been there? And I needed that moment to just stop and to breathe and to say, okay, God, pour into my life. As we work to minister, as we work to build a network of care and discipleship in the communities in which we live and love, one of the first and most essential things we must make sure we are doing is making time for God to pour into us. If we try to lead on empty, we can expect empty results. However, if we choose to lead out of the overflow of God's Spirit being poured into us, then as I said this morning, get ready. Because God is going to work in miraculous ways. Are you hearing me tonight? People will not only experience the love of God through our actions and through our words, but they will be able to just see Jesus all over you. My college days, working at Target, I'd go to work right after school, and I was there until the store closed most nights. I picked up a habit of whistling. And you could tell where I was in the store. You just listened for the whistling. It'd be whatever song was in my head that day. And I'd have people ask, just call me Baker. Baker, why are you always whistling? It just seems like it doesn't matter what kind of day you're having. You're just whistling. I got Jesus. I have every reason to rejoice. I have every reason to rejoice. It was a context where we weren't really supposed to talk about the Lord, and I took a few liberties here and there. But what was interesting in this moment, and Christy worked at the same store at the same time, although we weren't able to just have that direct conversation with people about Jesus, I'll never forget when 9/11 rolled around. And we walked into that store, and I mean, there was nobody in that store. And there was probably 11 or 12 employees on staff that day. And most of us were in the electronics section watching the news. We had gotten it on the TVs. And I was in the process of stocking some shelves, and I couldn't really handle anymore what was going on TV, so I went to the back stock room, and I'm working. And all of a sudden, here came one of the back stock workers, or the back room workers, and he starts laying into me, "Why? Where is your God now?" And he's hurting. "Where is your God now?" And I would routinely ask this question if this was God. I said, "You're asking me to give you basically a faith-based answer, correct? Because I don't want to get in trouble, because I'm going to tell you where our God is." And I began to share Christ with this guy. And more employees came back, and before I knew it, I had about 10 people standing in a circle in the back room as I talked about Jesus on a day of destruction in our nation. Why do I bring that point up? Is because in that moment, although I had no possible opportunity of a verbal witness, I let my life be the witness. Hello? And I'm not trying to brag, and I'm not trying to boast in any of these, but listen to me. Your actions, your attitudes, your behaviors can make a difference in this world. You walk into an office where somebody's having a bad day, and you love on them. They try to come out with you with bad attitude, and you love on them instead. Are you following me? You have the potential of changing that person's attitude just because of the fact you're loving on them. You walk into a store and you walk through that line where that clerk may be having a rough day, and most oftentimes if they, "How are you today? Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself? How are you doing?" Most of the time you just get the generic, "I'm fine," but sometimes you'll get that, "Man, it's been kind of a rough day." You're just taking that next 30 seconds to say, "You know what, I'm praying for you," or even say, "Hey, can I say a quick prayer for you right now?" I don't know, we'll just say, "Sarah, Lord, help Sarah have a wonderful day today. And just fill this place with your presence right now as she continues throughout her day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." Just something that quick can have the power to change somebody's heart. It's that choice not to conform to the world and say, "Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Have a nice day," and walk on. No, we have been transformed through the renewing of our mind. We know that Jesus is the answer this world needs. And so we share that answer with others. And that is why this first stage, if you will, of alignment is so important, and why it's also that this is one of the areas that the enemy will attack the most. You see, I want us to understand, and I kind of touched on it this morning, the enemy wants us to believe that we can do all of this without God. He wants us to think that our technological advances and our advances in medicine and all these great things that we have around us is enough. Friends, can I tell you something? It's not enough. This facility, I learned a lesson. I can't remember if I've shared this with you, but that's all right. We interviewed for a youth pastor position. This was many, many years ago in Indiana in a town, and it great facility. The church, the congregation sat about 3,000, and the youth facility was their old sanctuary, and that room was big enough to seat about 1,500 people, and it had a great big lower floor, and then the balcony, they had turned into a cafe, and they had game tables and pool tables and air hockey tables and all these great things going on. And I'm thinking, I walk into this, it's like every youth pastor's dream, right? You're like, "Sweet, this is awesome." Big speakers and subs in the corners, and I'm just like, "Yes, this is going to be so much fun," right? I'm dreaming big. And I'm looking at this facility thinking, "Man, these guys have got to be knocking it out of the park. How many of you guys running for youth group?" "Well, maybe we get 10 or 15. I'm like, "What?" And God knocked on my heart that day. And he said, "Chris," he said, A facility won't grow a ministry. The right heart will grow a ministry, but not the facility. And I'm looking at this thing thinking, man, they've got everything. The Xboxes and the Wii's and the air hockey table and Jones sodas coming out their ears. Where are the kids? Where are the students? Listen, no game room, no nice facility is even a close substitute for the love of Jesus. Are you following me tonight? The enemy wants us to believe that we can do this without God. And he wants us to believe that we are talented enough, resourced enough, strong enough, if we work hard enough, try our best enough, and be polished enough, then we can be successful. Now listen to me. It's important that we pay attention to details. Hello? It's important that we plan. It's important that we organize. But it cannot stop there. This must be planned by His Spirit. We humble ourselves and say, God, what I put on paper, please, I want this to be Your will. I want this to be Your desire. As I pray often, get me out of the way, Father. All of these things are insufficient. However, what will work is the understanding that His grace is enough. Jesus is the answer. And church, something that I learned very early on in the ministry, we cannot do this without Him. Nor should we want to. And God never intended for us to do this on our own. And it is my prayer that we will submit ourselves to His equipping, to His building us up, both personally and corporately, for His plan and His revelation of His plan for our lives, that we will allow the Lord to pour out all that He has into us. And then we pour into others. We minister out of the overflow of what God is pouring into us. We never reach empty, and we operate in the fullness of knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord. So my prayer tonight is, God, pour into me. God, pour into me. Is that your prayer tonight? God, pour into me. As I line my life up with Your presence and plan, pour into me. Will you make the choice tonight to allow God to pour into you? Will you make the choice tonight to be devoted to the teachings of Jesus? As mentioned before, there is no message like that of the cross. The world cannot compete with the hope and joy that we have in Jesus. His teaching leads to life to the full, life away from sin. And it must become more than just a claim. It must become who we are. I want to be a follower of Jesus, not just claim to do Christ-like things. I want my life to revolve around Jesus. I want to be a devoted hearer and doer of His teachings. I want my God to pour into me daily so that I can pour into others. I do not want to lead on empty. And there is no telling, church, in life what kind of situations that we will face, but as long as we face them with Jesus, all will be well. Do you believe that tonight?